إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. A question was asked as I was coming tonight as to why our supplications are not answered. I refer them to a beautiful mentioning by a great scholar by the name of Ibrahim ibn Adham, a scholar of the 3rd century, rahimahullah ta'ala. When he was asked regarding the verse in Surah Ghafir, verse number 60, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and your Lord said, call unto me and I will answer your prayers. They asked, Ya Ibrahim, we supplicate our Lord, but we get no answer. He responded with a beautiful response. He said, you know Allah Ta'ala, yet you do not obey Him. You recite the Quran, yet you do not act according to it. You know the accursed, the rejected, the unwanted. You know His ugliness, His evilness, His mischievousness, His wickedness, His darkness. Yet you have agreed with Him. You proclaim your love for Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet you abandon his sunnah. You proclaim your love for the paradise. Yet you do not act to gain it. You proclaim that you fear hellfire. Yet you do not protect yourself from sin. You engage in finding the faults of other people, while you do not look at your own faults. You say that death is indeed reality, yet you do not prepare yourself for it. You eat and drink from the blessings of the Almighty Lord, yet you do not pay gratitude to the Almighty Lord. You bury the dead, he said, yet you do not take heed, a lesson from it. How are your supplications going to be answered? How? Supplications are answered, brothers and sisters, but they are answered from those who are obedient servants of the Almighty Lord, who love Allah Ta'ala by implementing that which He loves and abstaining from that which He does not love. This and then is when your supplications will be answered. After the resurrection, the day of gathering appears. The Almighty Lord will command His righteous believing angels to drive humanity to a predetermined place. this place, this land, will be on a reddish white land. It will be like a big loaf of bread, as mentioned in the collection of Muhammad ibn Ismail, on the authority of Sahal ibn Sa'id, that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people will be gathered on the day of resurrection on a reddish white land, like a pure, clean loaf of bread with no landmarks on it. Everything which is hidden today from man will be visible on that day. The kingdom of the most gracious, most merciful will appear in full view. No veil between it and you. In its true reality, man, on the day of gathering, will be in the state that he entered this life in, naked, uncircumcised, and barefooted. And you all know the beautiful saying of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that when she heard this from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, naked? The men and women looking at one another? He said, No, Ya Aisha, the situation is too hard for them to pay attention to that. On that day, the day of gathering, you will see amazing things, all sorts of things. You'll see a man who will be carrying on his neck a sheep that will be bleating, another carrying a horse that will be neighing, another will be carrying a camel that will be grunting, another will be carrying gold and silver, another will be carrying clothes that will be fluttering, and there will be others carrying other things. There will be on that day a man with spittle on his face. There will be a man who will have scars and scratches on his face. There will be a man with no flesh on his face. There will be a man who will look like a small ant, but he will be a man in the shape of a man. Humiliation will cover him from all directions. There will be a man standing and falling. Every time he stands, he will fall. There will be a man who will be shining, beaming, shimmering with beautiful light. There will be a man with a crown of honor on his head, blood oozing from his wounds as though it just happened. It will have the color of blood, but the smell of musk. This is what you will be seeing and much more on a day of resurrection. We'll begin with the gathering of the people of pride, arrogance and haughtiness. Abu Isa al-Tirmizi and Ahmad ibn Shu'ayb al-Nisa'i rahimuhum Allah ta'ala said that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the arrogant will be gathered like small ants on a day of gathering. Humiliation will surround them. They will be taken or driven to a prison in hellfire called Bulos. And there they will be given a flame, and they will be given the drippings, the juice of the inmates of hellfire to drink. These are the people of arrogance, pride, and haughtiness. These are the people who valued themselves in the life of this world as greater, better, and higher than other people. Be it in qualities, fame, position, possession, physical features, in color, in race, in other things. They look down and despise other people, believing they are higher than them. Oh, this person's a nigger, they say. Or this person's a Chinese. Or this person's such and such. Or he's fatso. or is useless, or is ugly. This is un-Islamic. As a sign of pride and arrogance. The sole reason why Iblis alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah was accursed eternally was because he did not prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. Arguing that he is better than Adam, saying, I was created from a smokeless fire. Well, Adam was created from nothing but clay. I'm not going to prostrate to that person. I'm better than him. And thus Allah cursed him eternally. And thus he'll be thrown into hellfire due to this sin, which is pride and arrogance. The leader of pride or arrogance are no other than the Jews. Wallahi, they got the most extreme racial pride in them. They claim that they are the chosen people of Allah Ta'ala, of God, they say, who are destined to inherit the earth. They say that they are the sons and daughters of God, exclusion to everyone else. They say that every single non-Jew is a slave created to serve the Jew. An abominated, filthy, disgusting, gross belief. Their time will come like every other evil person's time will come. Abu Dhal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once in a state of anger, in a fit of anger, he looked at Bilal and said, you son of a black woman. And this is not an easy statement. You son of a black woman. Now Muhammad sallam was there present when he said this. So he turned to Abu Dhar angrily and said to him, you are a man. You are a man who still has jahiliyyah in him, which is ignorant practices, un-Islamic actions. Abu Dhar immediately grasped the gravity of his error. So he placed his head on the ground at the feet of Bilal, which is a sign of degradation and humiliation. And he said he will not remove his head until Bilal stepped over it. You know, today we hear many of these statements, but we don't take it into consideration. You know, how many children come home? Oh, this Pakistani, or this Arab, or this or that, whatever they may be. In a way that he's humiliating the other. You as a parent must warn, must teach your children that we are equal in the sight of Allah Ta'ala if you are Muslims. You know, if you were created a Arab or Chinese or Pakistani or English, Allah created you in that way. All creation is beautiful in the sight of the Almighty Lord. Do not humiliate anyone. If he speaks this or that, or he speaks in that way, and you may speak better, say, Allah help him, Allah aid him. Don't laugh and make him look, you know, bad in the sight of others. Say, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with this. And may Allah bless him and aid him and help him with this. As Muslim narrated, that anyone that has an atom's weight of pride in his heart, an atom's weight, will not enter paradise. A man asked, Ya Rasulullah, but one of us likes his clothes and his shoes to be nice, look good. He said, Allah is beautiful. Allahu Akbar, Allah is beautiful. And he loves only that which is beautiful. We are all beautiful in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. He created us in a beautiful fashion, manner, way. He said, pride is rejecting the truth and despising people. In a narration agreed upon, Muhammad SAW said to us all, should I not tell you about the people of hellfire? Every proud, harsh, disdainful, and arrogant person. In another narration collected by Bukhari in his beautiful book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he mentions, whoever looks or thinks highly of himself and walks with an attitude will meet Allah Ta'ala on the day of resurrection while he is angry with him. Another narration agreed upon, Muhammad SAW tells us a beautiful saying. of a man who wore some delightful clothes, beautiful clothes. He had his hair combed. He walked out on the street with an attitude of arrogance. You know how people, some people walk thinking that they are it on earth and no one else is it, that they're the best. You know, they show off the clothes, the attire they wear. They walk like, you know, snobs. And they walk around as though no one's walking but them on the street. They own the streets. And the hadith continues saying that this person walked in this kind of arrogant manner. Allah caused the earth to swallow this man. Authentic narration. Allah caused the earth to swallow this man and swallow and swallow and swallow. And the hadith says he will continue to be swallowed by the earth until the day of resurrection. Why? He did not heed the saying of the Almighty Lord. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on this earth in conceit and arrogance. A Muslim is not arrogant. A Muslim can never be the example of arrogance. Why? Because he lives his life according to his beloved teacher Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a living example of humbleness, humility, gentleness, tolerance. When food was brought to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not say, yuck, take it away. No. He did not like it, he wouldn't eat it. But he would never sort of frown and say, what is this? But he would not eat it if he did not like it. He would not yell at anyone. He did not make anyone feel like he's nothing. He greeted the young and honored the great. He sat with the poor and needy. He made them feel that they are loved. You know, they are cared for, that they are important. Today, the poor people are thrown behind while the rich are placed in front. This is not Islam. It's not the way of the best of examples, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sat, mingled, ate, drank, mixed with the poor people, cared for the poor people, loved them. He made them feel that they're humans. Today, if they're poor, don't worry about this person. He's poor. Forget about him. Oh, go to this person. Choose this person. You might benefit from this person. It's all to do with benefit. Material benefit. That's all it is today. He tended sheep, the leader of humbleness. He sewed his clothes. He cleaned his house. He tethered his goat. He even allowed the slave girls to take him by his hand and walk him in the streets of Medina. This is the best creature on earth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The slave girls, they used to love this, admire this. They would take Muhammad by the hand and walk him in the streets of Medina as though to say, look who I'm holding. Muhammad's hand. These are little slave girls. This was our example. An example, a beautiful example of humbleness. And this is our teacher. This is the way we should live. His paradigm and his standard should be the highest objective goal in our life. He mentions in a narration collected by a Muslim, it has been revealed to me that you should be humble to one another, boast not above one another, nor transgress against one another. He said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عَضْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالْسَحَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. The believers in their mutual love, mercy and sympathy are like one body. If one limb suffers, the whole body responds. The body of Islam, the Muslims all as a whole, it responds with sleeplessness and fever until that is cured. This is the way we are, the way we should be. We ask the Almighty Lord to put this bondage, this love, this care, this aid, this help amongst the Muslims, to strengthen us, to bring solidarity amongst us, unification, unity, loving each other, helping each other, aiding each other, thinking of our brothers who have been imprisoned for no reason. Do dua for them, help them. Wallahi, it could happen to any of us at any time. So do not think of yourself only when you go to sleep or when you eat. Or in your prayers, think about your brothers and sisters in Islam. They are the gathering or the people of pride and arrogance. The gathering of those who are the beggars. On a day of resurrection, on a day of gathering, you will see people with scars or scratch marks on their face, and others with no flesh on their face. No flesh, just the bone itself, bare. And they'll be walking around. These are the people who begged while there was no need for them to beg. As it's mentioned, that Muhammad says to us all, that whoever begs while there's no need for him to beg will come with scars and scratch marks on his face. Bukhari al-Muslim narrated the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that if one of you keeps asking with importunity, in other words, persistent demand, will meet Allah Ta'ala on a day of gathering with not a shred of flesh on his face. And Muslim narrated that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us all, that whoever begs just to add to his riches is actually in fact asking for a firebrand. It's up to him to increase it or decrease it. And a firebrand is a stick of fire. Begging, dear brothers and sisters, without a pressing need, a necessity, is a disgraceful crime that can lead a person to hellfire. And we all know that Islam teaches us that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. The upper hand is the one that gives, while the lower is the one that asks and takes. May the Almighty Lord make us amongst those who are from the upper hand and not from the lower hand. The gathering of the one who has two faces. Two faces, the backbiter, the slanderer, the one that carries fairy tales in order to lower, to harm, to hurt his believing brothers and sisters in Islam. On that day, this person, you will know him. You will know he was a two-faced person on the face of this earth. He will have a long tongue of fire. His tongue will be a fire on that day. As Muhammad said to us, whoever is two-faced in the life of this world will have a tongue of fire in the next. And Bukhari and Muslim narrated that amongst the worst people on the day of gathering, the day of judgment, is the one who is two-faced. He says something to these people and then something else to those people. SubhanAllah, backbiting, slandering, carrying fairy tales, lowering the servants of Allah Ta'ala in the eyes of others. Why? Why? Two-faced, evil, wicked person, are you free from mistake? Think about it. Are you free from mistake? As Ibrahim ibn Adham said, they engage in looking at the faults or finding faults in others before they look at their own faults. Are you free from mistake? Rather, you are full of deficiencies. You are lower than the person you are speaking about. How dare a Muslim speak, spread rumors, tell lies, hurt, harm his brother or sister in Islam? Surely, wallahi, this person did not know Islam. Does not know Islam. Prying into matters that does not concern him. Amr ibn al-As walked past a dead mule. A carcass of a dead mule. He said to his companions, you are better off eating from the flesh of this carcass than to eat the flesh of your fellow Muslims. Because when you talk behind your back of your brother and sister in Islam, it's like you are going to his grave after he's buried, digging out that grave and eating the flesh while it's deteriorating. That's the example. That's what you are doing. Another man mentioned something bad about his brother behind another man. So the other man said to him, the one that was mentioned to, he said to the backbiter, do you fight against the Romans? He said, no. He goes, do you fight against the Turks? He said, no. He goes, the Romans are safe from you. The Turks are safe from you. But your brothers and sisters are not safe from you. SubhanAllah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, the great mujahid, the great predecessor. He said, if I were to gossip about anyone, I would gossip about my parents. They have more right over my hasanat. They have more right over my deeds. And the worst of all is the man or the person who has studied some hadith, probably one or two memorization, or some verses of the Quran, thinking himself, tabarakallah, he's someone, and starts describing or slandering the scholars, thinking that, oh, I'm not on that opinion, oh, that opinion is, you know, it's no good. Don't listen to this shaykh. Subhanallah. How many people slander shaykhs, slander eminence, scholars, teachers of Islam? It is because you have learned one hadith and you're on a particular opinion. You go and throw that shaykh's work out the window. What makes you know that he's right and you're wrong? Brothers and sisters, be very careful how you use this tongue. Be very careful. Be careful that you do not say a word, one letter, against your brother and sister in Islam that will hurt or harm them. Wallahi, if anything drags a human being into hellfire, it's this. Leave that which does not concern you. Avoid, abandon people. Worry about your own faults. Judge yourself before you judge others. Look at your own faults before you look at other people's faults. And you'll see that you need to rectify your life before you talk about other people's lives. Do not be two-faced. A funny story took place when a lady mentioned to her husband that her next door neighbor, a female lady, was two-faced. And she mentioned this in the presence of a 5-year-old child. So, yeah, this 5-year-old child listened to her, to his mother, saying that next door neighbor, her neighbor next door, is two-faced. She was saying this to her husband over dinner. So one day they went next door and they started to visit the next door neighbors. So the child remembered that saying of her, of his mother, that the lady is two-faced. So the child, this 5-year-old child, could not conceive, you know, what does she mean by two-faced? Has she got two faces? So he went to that lady that was spoken about behind her back. Like, you know, this lady, the wife, was warning her husband, be careful what you say in front of this lady because she speaks to two in two different faces. So while they were visiting their neighbors, the lady to be, or assumed to be two-faced, the child went to this lady and started looking at her and looking, scrutinizing her face. The lady got annoyed after about 2 or 3 minutes of being stared at like that. She said, what are you doing? He said, my mother said you're two-faced. I can't see two faces. I can't see two faces. And fadahaha, he exposed what his mother said about her behind her back. They say if you are in the wrong, they say if you commit something evil, the evil will be back at you as well. So both of them fell into two-faced sort of talks. The gathering of the people who take the war spoils, the booty, before it's distributed. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed this nation with what's known to be as booty or war spoils. In other words, when you conquer our land, the enemy's possessions belong to you after you have conquered that land. However, you are not allowed as a soldier to touch any booty, any war spoils, until the Amir distributes that booty to you. If you touch anything before the distribution, this is called theft in Islam. It's called theft. And you will bring that which you took illegally on the day of gathering on your back. You'll be carrying it on your back or on your neck, as the hadith mentions. As the hadith says, وَمَنْ يَغْلُوا يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever deceives regarding the booty will bring that which he took on the day of judgment. As the hadith was mentioned by Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day addressed them and mentioned Al-Qulul, which is the theft or taking of the booty before its distribution. He said, I do not want to see any one of you, after he emphasized its magnitude and declared it being a great sin. He said to his companions, I do not want to see one of you on a day of judgment carrying a sheep on his neck that will be bleating, or a horse on his neck that will be neighing. Such a person will say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede with Allah for me. And I will say, I cannot, I have conveyed the message to you. Or a man carrying a camel on his neck that will be grunting. Such a person will say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede with Allah for me. I will say, I cannot, I have conveyed the message to you. Or a man carrying gold and silver on his neck. Such a person will say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede with Allah for me. I will say, I cannot, I have conveyed the message to you. Or a man carrying clothes that will be flattering. Such a person will say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede with Allah for me. And he will say, I cannot, I have conveyed the message to you. So you are not allowed to touch that which is of the war spoils until the Amir, your leader, allows you to do so. And if you do otherwise, that which you take, you will be carrying it on your neck on a day of gathering, and that will be a burden and your punishment on that day. May the Almighty Lord make us, or distance us far from touching anything that does not belong to us. The gathering of those who will be walking on their faces on a day of resurrection, on a day of gathering. And we all know that the disbelievers will be walking on their faces on that day. And as a scholar mentioned, because they were too arrogant, too stubborn in this life to pray, prostrate to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will place their faces at the place of their feet on that day, and they'll be walking on their face. How? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, and Allah Ta'ala does what He wills. And it is easy for Him. As a man asked, Ya Rasulullah, will Allah make the disbelievers walk on their face on a day of resurrection? He said, yes. Will not the one who made them walk on their feet in this life be able to make them walk on their face in the next? And not only those will be on their faces, there will be other people who will be gathered, being dragged on their face. They will be the people who don't ask to be seen or heard by man. As mentioned in Bukhari, that the first three people against whom judgment will be pronounced is one who is a mujahid. And we all know, alhamdulillah, the virtue of jihad. But the first one that Allah will judge on a day of resurrection is a mujahid. Why? A mujahid who died as a shaheed? Who will be brought forward to Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala will make known His favors upon him. The mujahid will recognize him. He will ask him, what did you do with all these favors? He will say, Ya Allah, I fought for your sake and died for your sake. He said, you have lied. You only fought to be called a warrior, a fighter, a courageous man, a mujahid. And it was you were called that. Thus he will be dragged on his face and cast, thrown into the pit of damnation, hellfire. Another man will be brought, a man who was a reciter of the Quran, who had learned the Quran, who has learned Islam, who was a teacher of Islam. He will be brought. Allah will make known His favors upon him. He will recognize them. So what did you do with all these favors I gave you? Because Ya Rasulullah, I taught your deen, I taught the Quran, I recited the Quran. He goes, you have lied. You have done it only to be called a sheikh or a learned man or a reciter of the Quran. And you will call that. And thus, he will be dragged on his face and casted into the pit of eternal damnation, hellfire. Another man will be brought, a man who Allah enriched with many riches, having a large amount of money. Allah Ta'ala will bring him forth. He will make known to him his favors. He will recognize the favors. He will ask him, what did you do with all these favors? Ya Allah, I left not a path untrodden, but I spent it for your sake. He said, you have lied. You have only spent that money to be called a charitable person, an open-handed, generous Karim. And it was you were called. And thus he'll be dragged on his face and thrown into hellfire. In this beautiful narration testifies or signifies that the greatest and most noblest of deeds can lead to a catastrophe, can lead to an eternal damnation when it lacks sincerity. Brothers and sisters, be very careful. Every act of worship that you perform, make sure it's for Allah Ta'ala. Make sure, revive your niyyah, your intention. Every single act that you do, make sure there's ikhlas, sincerity, with full conviction, only to Allah Ta'ala. Make it solely, devoted, only to your Lord. For wallahi, if it's for other than your Lord, you will be judged on that day. You do not want to be like those three men who will be dragged on their faces and casted and thrown into hellfire. May Allah keep us far away from that. Revive all the time your intention, revive it. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? For what reason am I doing this? Always look at your incentive, your intention. We're human beings. We are created with this deficiency. We can accidentally be misled by the accursed, where he will drag us into association. So be sure, make sure that you're doing your action only for Allah Ta'ala. The gathering of the people on that day, who will be glimmering, shimmering, beaming with light, they will be the people of wudu, the people of salat, the people of Islam. Abu Huraira mentions in a hadith collected by a Muslim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the graveyard and he said, "Peace be upon you, O dwelling of believing servants, and inshallah we shall follow you soon." Then he said, "I would have loved to have seen my brothers." And the companions were next to him and said, your brothers? Are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? He said, "No, you are my companions. My brothers have not yet come." They asked him, "And how will you know your brothers, O Rasulullah, that for they're from your ummah?" He said, "Have you not seen the man? If he had a horse with a white blaze and hoof, along with a total jet black body, will he not recognize his horse?" He said, "Certainly, O Prophet of Allah." He said, "Likewise, on the day of gathering, the day of judgment, I will know my ummah, my nation, with the white blazes and marks of their wudu. They'll be shining, beaming, glimmering, light. And I'll be present before them at the hold waiting for them." Can you imagine those that do not pray? You know, according to this narration, how will you be known to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day if you do not pray? Because you are not going to perform wudu if you do not pray. Think about it, brothers and sisters. If you do not pray, how will you be known or exposed to your leader, to your prophet on that day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You will not be shining. There's no reason for you to shine. You'll be filthy, dirty, maybe even rejected. So make sure that you do your wudu and do it perfect. And the excellence of wudu is immense. As the hadith mentions, likewise collected by Muslim on the Fadl al-Bahira again, that he said, "Should I not guide you to that which erases sin and raises ranks?" They said, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah." He said, "Completing wudu in hardship, many steps to the mosque, and waiting for prayer after prayer, that is al-ribat," he said, "which is guarding the frontiers." And the narration collected again by Muslim, and again on authority of Abu Huraira, who said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever a Muslim servant, listen to this beautiful narration, whenever a Muslim servant performs wudu and washes his face, all the sins that your eyes looked at will wash away with the water or the last drop of water. And when he washes his hands, all the sins that your hands had stretched out to will wash away with the water or the last drop of water. And when he washes his feet, all the sins that his feet touched, washed away with the water, or the last drop of water, leaving him pure, clean from all sins. This is the excellence of wudu. Do not think that it's hard. And the best of wudu is that when it is hard, as the hadith mentions. You know, some people in the morning waste gallons and gallons and liters of water waiting for it to get hot, especially when it's 0 degrees. Yes, I can understand the situation where I've been blessed with heaters, where I've been blessed with water heaters and so forth, with hot water. But, do not forget this narration. Do not waste water in order to get warm. You know, you open it and you make sure it's cool, then it's hot, then it's warm, and you want an extra hot and you wait, another 2 liters gone, 3 liters, 4. Especially today, we're in a state of drought. Even the kuffar can benefit from this narration. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those on the day of resurrection who are glimmering, shimmering, beaming with light. The gathering of the shaheed. On a day of resurrection, you will know the shaheed who is the martyr in Islam. He will have a crown of honor on his head, and there will be a pearl in that crown. And the pearl in it is better than the whole world and all it consists. Blood will be oozing from his wound. It will be the color of blood and the fragrance of musk. He will not fear on that day because he will be saved from the great fear of the day of gathering. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a narration collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, that the wound that a Muslim receives in the cause of Allah will appear on a day of resurrection as though it just happened. Blood will be flowing from it. The color will be blood, and the smell will be fragrance of musk. And he mentions that the shaheed is forgiven at the first drop of his blood. As soon as the first drop comes out, all his sins are forgiven, are gone, are no more. His status of paradise, in paradise, is shown to him. He is dressed in clothes of iman. He is saved from the punishment of the grave. He is saved from the great fear of the day of gathering. A crown of honor is placed on his head. He is allowed to intercede on behalf of 70 members of his family. 70 members. He is married to 72 ladies of paradise. 100 grades of paradise awaits him. The fire has been forbidden to touch the feet that touch the soil of a battlefield in Islam. Every single Muslim knows that death will beat him one day, defeat him. But we as Muslims will prefer an honorable death to an ordinary death. And a saying of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ وَذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Indeed, Allah has purchased of the believers their lives and properties. For what? For the price that there shall be paradise. They fight in His cause, so they kill others and they are killed. This is a promise in truth, binding in Allah Ta'ala, in the Gospel, the Torah and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah Ta'ala? So rejoice in the bargain that you have concluded, and that, our brothers and sisters, is the supreme success. May the Almighty Lord make us amongst those who die, who live first of all for his sake, and thus die for his sake back with an honorable death. The gathering of the people who consumed a riba, they will be standing and then falling. On a day of resurrection, when the people are resurrected, they'll come out quickly from the graves. But as soon as the person that took riba comes out, he will not be able to stand. When he stands, he falls. He will stand and fall. He will stand and fall. Why? Because the riba does not allow him to stand up. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ. ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Those who consume the riba will not stand on the day of resurrection except like those who stand by Satan beating at them, bashing them, driving them to insanity, as though they are possessed. They are in an epileptic sort of state. When they stand, they cannot stand. Satan drives them down and makes them fall like madmen, like they are possessed by Satan. They will be in a state of an epileptic sort of position when he just goes crazy, this person. Why? Because they claim that trade is like a riba. But Allah Ta'ala has forbidden riba and permitted trade. May the Almighty Lord keep us far away from this filthy word, this filthy, dirty word, riba. But subhanAllah, when people hear it, they lower their heads and close their ears as though you are telling them something to hurt them. This is something to help you, to aid you. You know, how can a person, after hearing this verse, consume riba, be among those people who take riba? Brothers and sisters, if you are a Muslim, you respond to the verses of Allah Ta'ala. As Ibrahim ibn Adham said, you recite the Quran, yet you do not act according to it. You know Allah, yet you do not obey Allah Ta'ala. You fear, or you proclaim the fear for hellfire, yet you do not prevent yourself from sin. How is your supplication going to be answered? The gathering, and we'll make this the last inshallah ta'ala, the gathering of the person who spits in the direction of the Qibla. We all know that you are not allowed to face or turn your back to the Qibla when you relieve yourself. But not many people know that you are not allowed to spit in the direction of the Qibla. For the person that has knowledge of this and thus does this prohibition, on a day of gathering, he will appear with the spittle that he spitted out, the saliva, on his face on that day. But many people just spit like there is no tomorrow, where they don't care, filthy, dirty, slags everywhere, spit everywhere. This is not the attitude of a Muslim. If you must spit against the Qibla, not in the direction of the Qibla, and cover it with earth if you must spit. But it's not a characteristic of a believer. We'll leave it at that inshallah ta'ala, and next week we'll continue with the day of resurrection, the day of gathering. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. I will allow now approximately 10 to 15 minutes of questions. The first drop of a martyr, of a shaheed, will forgive all his sins. Now, this is only minor, not the major. We know that major cannot be forgiven only through one way, and that way is how, ya ihsan? The major sin. Sorry? The mercy of Allah Ta'ala with the sincere repentance. The sincere repentance is the only way that you can expiate for your major sin. Fadl ya Abu Bakr. What is regarded as the booty or the spoils of war? For example, if you defeat the army, they've got horses, they've got swords, they've got artillery. Today it's artillery. They've got ladies, they've got men, they've got children, they've got homes, everything. If you are conquering a land, a country, for example, it will be the country itself. If you're conquering, if you're fighting an army where it's only in a sort of neutral place where there's no land involved, it will be their possessions, what they have there. He does not take 70 to deal with him. He intercedes for 70 of his family members. They've got to be eligible for intercession at the same time. For example, he's not going to intercede for a kafir. You know, he could be a revert, and he could, his members of the family could be all kuffar. They won't be eligible for any intercession. So if you are eligible on that day for intercession, yes, inshallah ta'ala, through Allah's mercy, you may get or anticipate that reward. Well, if a person is being backbitten, and naturally you're not going to sort of enjoy it, you're not going to sit there and say, Alhamdulillah, let it keep going. You can send a plate of dates to this person if you want. You know, a plate of dates, make sure it's nice fresh dates, to the backbiter, and say to him, thank you very much. That's all I can pay you back with. Thank you for your hasanat, but I cannot pay you more than a plate of dates. Because you have actually won and he has lost. So you give him a gift for him giving you his hasanat. But you can go and talk to the person and say, Akhi, what's your problem? Not with your fists, with your mouth. Why are you doing this to me? What have I done to you? If you want to, you know, talk to anyone about my issue, talk to me about it. Take me by the hand and say, I want to advise you. But by going behind my back, you're actually hurting me. You're harming me. Especially, you know, when people are going to feel, you know, negative towards you. Because this person that you just fed the rivers, at the end of the day, obviously is a problem between you and him. And he's trying to lower you in the eyes of others. And that is extremely, extremely dangerous. Because this is this connection, this unity. You're making hatred arise and occur between brothers. Hatred and enmity. And this Islam is very, very negative or against, you know, of such occurrence. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the beautiful narration which is mentioned, Allahu alam of its authenticity, that there was two ladies that were fasting. And their master, there were two slaves, their master came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking permission for them to break their fast because they were extremely thirsty. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time he heard the master asking for that allowance, he turned away from this person. And then the master of these two said, Ya Rasulullah, please allow these two to break their fast because they're incredibly thirsty. They're going to die. He said, bring them to me. So the two ladies came. He asked that master of theirs to bring a bowl. A bowl. So a bowl was brought to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He called one of the ladies. He said, come here. She came. He said, vomit in this bowl. So she vomited. But what did she vomit? She vomited flesh and pus. She was taken away. You come here, the second one. She vomited as well. Likewise, flesh, blood, and pus. He said, they have already broken their fast. They have been backbiting their brothers and sisters in Islam. So backbiting is not a simple issue. It's not easy. Be very careful, brothers and sisters. Keep away, far away from hurting, harming your brothers and sisters in Islam. There is a acceptable... Backbiting is mentioning behind your back anything that your brother or sister may dislike. Anything. Anything that your sister or brother may dislike, you are not allowed to mention behind their back. Now, if there's a reason for you to say something about this person for a benefit for marriage, for example, you know this person is a he's got evil in him. So you're warning this person from this person, his evilness. This is allowed if there is a reason or benefit behind it, and it's restricted to that and only to that. You do not go beyond that. You don't go proclaim it in public. This person is such. He's got such in him. They don't need to know. This person may need to know because this person wants to have a relationship with this person. So there is times when you are allowed to warn, advise against due to a benefit. If a lady does the matter, yes. Why not? No, the martyr on the battlefield, not the people that are considered as martyrs. But they got the lesser state of martyrism, which is what? Those who die, you know, due to an epidemic, for example, or a disease in the abdomen, or after delivery, or during delivery, or a war fall on them, and so forth. They are, or drowning. They are martyrs, yes, but they don't have the same sort of level or caliber as the person who dies on the battlefield. So what I mentioned earlier on was restricted to the person who dies on the battlefield, and no other. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.